we always say here on the show, you date your real estate agent, but you marry your property manager. Like, this is a long-term relationship. And so we have a vested interest in making sure that you find the best property for your long-term goals. All right, everybody, welcome back to another episode of the Birmingham Real Estate Investor Podcast. I am your host, Spencer Sutton, and it's good to be here with you. So today I want to talk to you about really challenges that we see with investors. You know, obviously, as you can imagine, we talk to hundreds and hundreds of investors every single year, and a lot of them are doing what you are trying to do, right? So they're trying to find great deals, build rental portfolios, and replace their active income with passive income. And that's a great thing. But we really see a lot of times there's five challenges with doing this, at least. And some of this is based on my own personal experience with buying and managing my own rental property. And then obviously a lot of it is based on what we see with other folks who call us and reach out to us. So what I want to do is walk through the five biggest challenges that we see. So the first one, and I'll tell you, it's starting to get better, but the first one is just finding great deals. And I think the term great is relative there, to based on what you believe a great deal is, based on what your goals are and what you're trying to achieve. And so, but finding great deals is definitely one of them. Now, over the past 2 years, right? So from 2020 to through the first part of 2022, like, you are fighting to find great deals, like working extremely hard just to find great deals. And we have a whole brokerage team that this is all they do, is source great deals from wholesalers, from the MLS, off-market deals. But this is still, like, now it's starting to cool down, right? So there's less demand. It's becoming more of a buyer's market as opposed to seller's market. I remember hearing that in Atlanta when we were putting offers on houses for investors, in some cases, we would be one of 30 offers on a property. And that's just not the case right now. It's starting to cool off a bit. We're seeing that institutions are pulling back and they're waiting to see what's going to happen with the economy. And so, like, they're not fighting for those deals, so they can be had. But it's still difficult. You need to understand what is a great deal and what isn't. I was just talking to an investor the other day, and he was mentioning this area that he loves to invest in and buy in. And I'll just be honest with you, I would never buy in that area. Like, I bought there before, and it was okay. It wasn't great. And he was saying, oh yeah, I love this area. And I told him, I was like, you know, I've just always stayed away from that area besides the one property I bought in that place. But my whole point is, he knows that area. And so what he believed was a great deal is going to be different than what I believe is a great deal. You could sell me a property in this area of town for $5,000, and I still wouldn't take it. Like, it wouldn't be a good deal to me. But this is a challenge that we see that investors have all the time, is finding great deals. And now, last year, 2021, we were a part of over 700 transactions. This is brokerage transactions, finding properties for investors. This year, I believe we're on pace to be somewhere around 1400 to 1600. So we are finding deals for investors. If this is something that you need help with, just understand that we have a team ready to help you. But this is the first challenge, is just finding the great deal. And again, it really revolves around your particular goals and what you're trying to achieve. All right, what's the next challenge? Well, the next challenge comes down to when you find that great deal and when you're able to close on that great deal, then what's next? In my experience, and in the experience of the investors that we work with, unless you're buying a completely turnkey product, you're going to have a rehab to do. Like, great deals are usually not the, how do I say this? They're not the turnkey product, usually. Turnkey products can still work for you And that's fine. Like we do have investors that come to us and say, hey, I'm looking for a property that doesn't need a huge rehab. And that's okay. We understand that. But there's still going to be work. If you're looking for a really great deal, there's still going to be work that needs to be done. So one of the challenges that people have is just managing a rehab crew, especially if you're out of town. I've known many investors who have tried to do this and have failed miserably at it. I was just thinking back. I even pulled up emails from 2015, 2016 from investors that were reaching out to us, asking us to help with massive, massive problems that they were having with rehabs, with rehab crews. They had been sending all this money and they had been getting false reports. As a matter of fact, I pulled up the email and there was a picture of an air unit. And this investor emailed it to me and said, hey, I got this, you know, I paid for this air unit to be placed at this house. We're trying to get this thing rented. You know, what is the deal, et cetera, et cetera. They say it's completely done, but, you know, anyway, he just kind of thought something was up. And so we had a property manager in the area. I called the property manager at the time. I said, Wayne, here's the address. Will you go by there and take a look at this air unit and just, you know, tell me what you think? So he went by there. He was there literally 5 minutes after this investor and I had been emailing each other. And the unit was not connected to the house. It was there and it was just sitting there, absolutely not connected to the house. There was no power to the house. And there was a notice on the front of the window saying that there had to be an inspection before there would be power back to the house. And this was from the city of Birmingham. So I just sent him the pictures like, hey, we're here at the property and this is what's really going on. I copied the person who was doing the rehab for him in the email. I copied this guy in the email and his response was, I'm going to be there early in the morning. I'll get to the bottom of this. Well, the truth was, is that he was ripping people off. He was ripping people off. And so managing a rehab crew, and this is not to scare you because you can do it, but it is a challenge. Like you need to understand it is a challenge. Managing $1,000 worth of work is obviously different than a $50,000 rehab. We get that. So you need to understand who you're working with. You need to get, in my opinion, if you're doing this, you need to find other investors that they've worked with. You know, you don't need to pay for it all up front. Like there needs to be a draw process. And then honestly, you need to be in town to inspect the work as it goes. Not like after you've paid them the full amount, you need to be here and inspect the work. I would say probably two or three times during the process, depending on the size of the rehab. So this is the second challenge that people have. The third challenge that I've noticed is that investors have is just showing the property. Like once the house is rent ready and you're ready to market it, so you get it out there on Zillow, you put a sign in the yard, it's really showing the property. Because if you're buying in a, let's say you live in a B class or an A class area and you're buying C or D, what if it's 30 minutes away? Well, showing properties is not easy when you have 10 people that want to see the property and you're being pulled in all different directions. And so what happens, like what have we seen happen with investors is they get tired of doing this. They get tired of going out there and showing the property. So what do? They relax on their underwriting criteria. And it's easy to convince yourself that this person will be a good fit. And so you are not as stringent in your underwriting. And what happens is because it's not convenient for you, you let somebody in your property that is going to be a horrible resident. This just happens. And if you own rental property long enough, you're going to have challenges with your tenants at some point. Right. At some point, it's not always going to be roses and rainbows. And so showing properties, the major inconvenience that showing a property is, will typically starts to wear on investors, especially in your first few houses, because it is such an inconvenience and you do want this to be done with and you're ready to get somebody in there paying. So you got this you've got a couple of things going on. You've got this inconvenience of showing the property, and you also have the urgency of getting someone in there paying income. And so what sometimes happens is you might get a less than qualified resident who says, I'll pay, I got the first 2 months of rent. I've got a security deposit. And you're looking at that and you're like, wow, this is $3,000 or, you know, $4,000. I'm ready to get this thing going. And that starts to like mess with your judgment. And from that point on, you're not making the best decision in the long run for your property. It's better to wait another 30 days, continue showing the property with patience, and find the right resident for you. I can't tell you how many investors that we've had to, you know, take over the properties that they were managing where this was one of the issues. So that's the third challenge. The next challenge that you're going to have once you find a resident and get a resident in there is really just maintaining and managing the tenant expectations, right? So there's all kinds of things that you're going to need to set expectations for. You're going to need to set expectations for maintenance requests. Like, what does a maintenance request look like? What is worthy of a maintenance request? What are you going to fix and what are you not going to fix? You know, and a lot of this is established upon move-in. You need to have your house in great shape when a resident moves in and expect them to keep it in great shape. One of the things that we always do and that I'm going to suggest that you do is when you're about to move a resident in, let's say they're 3 days out from actually moving in, they paid you the security deposit, maybe they paid you the first month's rent or prorated rent for that first month, and you say, okay, you can move in 2 days. We're going to start the lease on this date. Then you need to walk through that property, take all the pictures. If you want to take video, take video. This is record keeping. This is what you need to do. And then keep that and let the resident know that, hey, I've walked through this entire property. Everything is working. I've flipped every switch. I've turned on the garbage disposal, every light switch. I've opened and shut the garage door. I know it's working. Everything is in working order. And so if in the next 5 to 10 days, you notice something that isn't working, please let me know and I'll get that taken care of. But then the expectation is that when the resident moves out, is that they're going to deliver everything back according to the way that you gave it to them. This is setting an expectation. Are you going to have normal wear and tear? Yes, absolutely. Be prepared for that. This should not count against the resident. Normal wear and tear is just part of doing business. You're in a business now. Now, tenant-related damage could be things like the kids draw on the walls. There's a hole from a doorknob going through a wall. You know, they leave something not working. So those things are going to obviously, you know, you're going to need to look at that. And as they have moved out, you're going to be walking back through that property and documenting everything so that when you withhold, if you withhold any of the security deposit, you have record of exactly how it was given to them and how you received it back, right? So you need to be very good at record keeping. And that's part of setting expectations. You know, part of setting expectations also is how you communicate with the resident. If you're giving them your cell phone, then you can expect text and phone calls. Maybe you need to set the expectation that the way that they need to communicate with you is through email. That may be one thing. Another expectation that you need to set is probably going to revolve around just normal upkeep of the property. And I'm thinking of like air filters. How often are you going to require them to change air filters? The expectation of potentially going and doing a property visit. So how many times is too many? Most landlords do want to go and see the property. We used to do quarterly inspections, but what we found was that it became very, very difficult to manage getting into the property, scheduling that property walkthrough with the resident. And they felt like it was an invasion of their privacy after a while. So, and you know, I can't like say that it wasn't. If it's 4 times a year, not that it was an invasion of their privacy, but I can understand how they would feel that way. I wouldn't want my landlord coming in four times a year, because it just seems like, oh, you were just here like 3 months ago and here you're already coming back. So setting the expectations is going to be very, very important. Managing those resident expectations. Here is something that we used to do. I'm not sure if we still do it, but when we had a resident sign a lease, we also gave them a document. And the document was the top 10 things you need to know about this property. And so you can do this something very similar. You can put a top 10 expectations. Like to me, the most important thing is that you are up front and that you are being very, very proactive when you're handling these things. Like, this is very, very important. But that is the fourth challenge, is managing resident expectations. And then the last challenge is really maintenance. Just the ongoing maintenance, because you're going to have things broken. Now, if you have fully rehabbed the house, or maybe your house is very new, then you're going to have far fewer maintenance issues. If you're buying in an area of town, let's say a C-class area, and the property is older, maybe it was built in the 1940s or 50s or 60s, then you can expect maintenance issues to happen and you're going to have to take care of them. So you should be prepared, because this is a challenge that we see a lot of investors in. And what happens when your resident has a maintenance issue and you're not on top of it? You're not prepared. What happens is, they're going to get frustrated because you're not handling the issue. You're going to get frustrated because they keep wearing you out about it. And then at the end of the day, they're not going to be happy and they're not going to stay in the property. They're not. If you want a recipe for turning over residents every 12 months, then don't have a plan for maintenance. Like, just don't have a plan. Or send somebody that you don't know and don't trust out to that property. And like, just a simple interaction with that resident from somebody that you have sent out to that property will completely change the relationship, your relationship with that resident. They won't trust anybody else that you send out there. And so maintenance is going to be a big issue for you. And probably the number one way you're going to kill your rental performance, your returns, is turning that property every 12 months. It's just, there's zero way that you're going to make any money in rental real estate if you're doing that. So understand, like, I would go ahead and set up, who is your handyman? Who are you going to call who's a reliable handyman? The challenge is in today's environment, these people are very busy. Especially with the economy slowing down, you're going to see more and more people staying in their house and doing projects within their house, like fixing their house up, as opposed to just selling it. And so we're going to have more and more home remodeling jobs. But if you can find a good fix-it handyman, then that's going to help tremendously. Who is your plumber? Who are you going to send out there who's a plumber? Who is your HVAC person? Like, this is a big deal, especially here in the South, where the summers are brutal and the winters can get very, very chilly. We don't get a lot of snow, but when we do, it's a nightmare. But it can get cold probably for a couple of months out of the year, very cold. Who is your heating and air person? Have these people lined up, and as best you can, anticipate what some of the issues are going to be. I would even say doing preventative maintenance on your heating and air system is going to be really, really important. If you're buying an older house, if you've invested in an older house, I would go ahead and have all the major systems checked out. I have electrical checked out. I have plumbing checked out. What we see in the South a lot of times are a lot of old piping, and it's easy for these things to get clogged up, a lot of terracotta. And so you get roots from trees in these yards that grow down through the drains and clog everything up. And so just be prepared for maintenance is the best way I can put it, because that is going to be a big challenge. So those are the five biggest challenges that we see when new investors are taking on rental property, and a lot of times when they're trying to do it themselves. If you ever want to, you know, figure out, hey, is this a good property? Should you be investing? What areas you should be investing in? We have teams that are here to help you. We have people who know these areas, boots on the ground inside these, that know the neighborhoods very intimately, and can give you the best advice based on your situation. You know, we have people that not only can give you great practical advice on should you buy this property, but then we also have the people who can go out there and find the deals for you. These are our agents and brokers. And then we have a whole team that literally manages these properties. We always say here on the show, you date your real estate agent, but you marry your property manager. Like, this is a long-term relationship. And so we have a vested interest in making sure that you find the best property for your long-term goals, because we're going to be in this relationship with you. And what we want is we want you finding tremendous success. So that's it for this episode. And if you've enjoyed this, leave us a 5-star review. We'd love to see that. Go ahead and leave your thoughts and opinions on this episode. And we'll be back in another month with our next episode.